Get started. Okay, you see my screen? Okay. So last time we began the community. And the idea, like we said last time, that Rav Soloveitchik is looking at the stories of Adam and Chava, that Adam was first created alone, Chava was created with Adam, that Adam is supposed to be by himself, Adam is supposed to be part of a community. And what Rav Soloveitchik was saying last time is that we really needed that the creation of humanity, creation of man, has two aspects to it. On the one hand, he's created totally alone. That he needs to be somebody who thinks for himself, understands things for himself, is able to critique, you know, people around him. He has to be an individual. That's how he's going to grow. That's how he's going to be a better person, is by just being his own man. At the same time, both the way Hashem made us, I feel like, psychologically, that we're not necessarily going to be happy or satisfied being totally on our own. But also spiritually, we have a job in this world. We're supposed to make it a better place. We're supposed to make it a holier place. We're supposed to help our fellow man. That we're supposed to be doing it in a community. And that really, we can't ignore either aspect of who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be both individuals and part of a community. Okay, I think that's basically the gist. Obviously, we're missing a lot of specific points we talked about, but that's the gist of what we were saying. Now, in point two, Rav Soloveitchik begins. We're not going to read everything. We'll just start with this paragraph. How is the community formed? And Rav Soloveitchik is about to say, this is something we saw in Majesty and Humility, the idea of imitating Hashem, and looking at, so how does Hashem do things? And also, just like in that essay, also here, Rav Soloveitchik is going to be looking at the Kabbalistic idea of Tzimtzum, right? That Hashem, in order to create the world, had to be mitzamtzim himself, had to hold himself back. Okay, so how is the community formed? The answer is simple. Two lonely individuals create a community in the manner that God created the world. What was God's instrument of creation? The Word. The Word is also the instrument with which man creates his own community. God, by saying Yihi, Yihi Or, Yivoker, which is identical with an act of recognition of the world. Hashem saw the creation, or he envisioned the creation. That understanding, that recognizing that this other thing could exist, made it possible for a beside him existence to emerge. Made it possible for finitude to coexist with infinity. Notwithstanding that, as a mathematical equation, finitude plus infinity equals infinity. Or in other words, that the coexistence of the infinite and the finite is an impossibility. God, in order to make room for the finite world, employed Midas HaTzimtzum, right, the method of self-contraction or self-limitation, Kaviyachol. So what's Rav Soloveitchik saying? It's a little bit hard to put your finger on, because it's a little bit mystical. But the idea that Hashem recognized this need for a world, and then he had to pull himself back, and by doing that, that world is able to be created. So this is the last line here. Thus we may suggest the following equation. Creation equals recognition, equals withdrawal, equals an act of sacrifice. I think it's a little bit easier to wrap your head around when it comes to actual man. The example of man. The same is true of man. If lonely man is to arise from existential exclusiveness, right, he's on his own, to existential all-inclusiveness, he includes things beyond himself, then the first thing he has to do is to recognize another existence. So this is eventually, it's interesting how much time in this essay he's gonna focus with on this topic, but the idea that somehow it's critical to create a community is just the very simple idea of recognition. That I see somebody and I acknowledge them. I feel like this is something, I don't know, like in New York in general, because there's so many people, but also YU. But that it's just easy for you to be so caught up, people to be so caught up in their busyness that they don't really even like sincerely recognize people as they walk by, as they pass. Like we can just be so focused on ourselves, you don't even say, "Hey, good morning. Hey, good. Well, how are you doing? What's up?" But that's going to be critical. Yeah. Just being more aware. 100%. We have now in our house the Henny Machlis, I don't know if it's Art Scroll, but one of these like biography books. You know Henny Machlis? Did we talk about the Machlises last week? No. Yes. They hosted like 150 people. My daughter, Moria, the 11-year-old daughter, she did like a presentation in class. They have to pick random topics for like a 15-minute presentation. So she did a presentation on Henny Machlis. But that's really what she who she was. That, you know, all the beggars on the streets of Yerushalayim, she knew all their stories. Also, her husband knew their stories, knew their problems, knew their backgrounds. But that's because even if somebody, I feel like somebody asks us for tzedakah, so we'll think of ourselves as a tzaddik if we give them like 25 cents or give them a dollar, like that's for sure. Then we're a big tzaddikim. But that's almost like that's the easy way out because it doesn't require much effort. But the idea of really saying, "Oh, how are you? Do you need something to eat? You know, mind if I sit down and just talk?" That's really how communities are formed. Just that simple, but difficult act of just stopping and trying to acknowledge somebody else. Okay, so what's Rav Soloveitchik saying here? We could even, and this is what really Rav Soloveitchik is talking about, the importance just of greetings. Like I said before, I was a little surprised at how much time he's devoting to greetings. Okay, but we'll skip to number 2 now. Okay. Quite often, a man finds himself in a crowd among strangers. Again, it's still this theme about just greeting somebody. He feels lonely, right? Imagine you're who knows where. You're like the subway station, or you're just, I don't know, you're just somewhere random. You're in some airport somewhere. Okay, no one knows him, no one cares for him, no one's concerned with him. It's just interesting to note also, Rav Soloveitchik, he writes this, I think, explicitly in Uvikashta Misham, right, where there's, I feel like I must have brought this up at some point. I don't know if it was with a Harusa or in a Shir or whatever, but he talks about how when he was a young boy, so he would like hear his father teaching a Chabura, and he didn't really know what was going on. All he understood was that there was this hero that his father was like helping out. That was the Rambam. The Rambam had this in. Did I mention it last week? I'm trying to remember when it was. Anyway, I don't remember the context either. But I didn't even want to talk about that part of the story. What I want to talk about was that at the beginning, before he starts talking about the story, he says, "I was like a lonely, like sad boy who was intimidated by the world," something like that. Like that's how he begins his story. But the idea, Soloveitchik, he admittedly was somebody who felt a little bit alone, and I don't know if that's so unusual for somebody who's such a genius. I feel like usually genius is somehow associated with somebody who's a lot of times lost in his thoughts, not so much part of the chevra. But that can lead to loneliness if somebody is going to be so independent, so by himself. So Soloveitchik, like lonely man of faith, he also has like this whole soliloquy there about loneliness. But I feel like it comes across a little bit here. He seems to be talking from his own experience. Quite often, a man feels himself in a crowd among strangers. He feels lonely. No one knows him. No one cares for him. No one's concerned with him. It is again an existential experience. What does it mean existential? As relates to like existence, to life, that maybe I'm just not so important, meaning nobody cares about me. If I wasn't here, then everything would just be going on exactly the same in this airport or this street, whatever. Like, they really mean anything. It begins to doubt his ontological worth, like his own value. This leads to alienation from the crowd surrounding him. He's like, I don't even care anymore. Suddenly someone taps him on the shoulder and says, "Oh, aren't you Mr. So-and-so? I've heard so much about you." In a fraction of a second, his awareness changes. An alien being turns into a fellow member of an existential community. What brought about the change? The recognition by somebody. The word. Right? So it's again, Soloveitchik is really waxing poetic for more than a page or two about the importance of just greeting somebody. Because it's more than just, it's a pick-me-up for the other person. Soloveitchik has to couch it in philosophical terms. That it's about creating a community, it's about existential recognition, it's about all these things, about just recognizing both the person doing it, he's kind of acknowledging that, you know, that I should care about the world beyond me, and for the person that's receiving it, it's just such a big pick-me-up, because somebody cares about him. Okay, we're going to skip a little bit. It's interesting about Hamavim Pnei Chaver Barabim, Kiddush Shofei Chadamim, because you're taking away his existential self-worth. Okay. Orphans and widows. Okay, this medrash or some ancient quotes. I don't know if you saw it yet, but in Maseches Smachos, in Evel Rabasi, whatever. So like Brisos, unbelievable story here. Okay. It's interesting again. Like I said, how much of Soloveitchik is focusing on this idea of recognition and caring, just in very subtle ways with about your fellow person. Okay, now let's go to number 3. Once I have recognized the thou, right, the you, and invited him to join the community. And until now, all that meant was that I recognized there's this other person. Oh, let's schmooze, okay? I ipso facto assumed responsibility for the thou. This is interesting. I feel like it's a chiddush. What's Rav Soloveitchik saying? Once I acknowledge that there's this person who I who I'm saying hi to. He's another human being. He's somebody who has a neshama. He's somebody of infinite importance. So that necessarily means that I have to care about him. And if I could help him, by giving him something, if I could help him by protecting him in some sort of way, I have the responsibility to do it. Because once I acknowledge that this person is in a chevra with me, and I should care about him, that means that I have to look out for him. Okay? But here again, it's the getting back to the same idea of everything about the community has to do with imitatio dei, with halachta mitrachav, imitating a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Here again, we walk in the ways of our Maker. God created man. God did not abandon him. God showed concern for him. God cared for Adam. God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Right? The whole story of Perek Beis, especially, also Perek Aleph. Hashem is trying to set up Adam for success. He's trying to care about him and protect him. Okay? He provided him with a mate. He placed him in paradise and allowed him to enjoy the fruit of the garden. Even after man sinned and was exiled from the garden, the Almighty did not desert him. Of course, he punished him. Yet he was concerned with man even while man was in sin. I forget the psukim, but I think after the chait of Adam Rishon, it says Hashem made kasnos or vayal bishem. Hashem like gave them like clothing, but the idea that Hashem never abandoned man, Hashem was always looking out for him. In a word, God assumed responsibility for whatever and whomever He created. Okay, the idea that it seems to be also yisod in valachta b'drachot. The idea that when Hashem held Himself back, and Hashem created, created the world, but Hashem didn't just do that and form this, and let this world to be created. He's looking after it. He's caring about it. So too with Adam. So we're also supposed to act in that way. That when we are establishing this community, has to be one of this mutual responsibility and caring about each other and looking after each other, just like Hashem does for us. Okay, so what do we do? The flow, I feel like I have to read this a few times to get the clearer flow. But the general flow, what we're talking about today, is the idea that just like Hashem created the world by acknowledging its existence, we can create a community by acknowledging that this other person exists. Once I acknowledge him, then we have this bond. We have this, community seems like a very big word. It has the connotation of like a huge group. For a Slovakian, it seems like community just means anything beyond oneself. So that once I recognize somebody, so now we're in a community, we're working together, or we care about each other. But that also has to lead to responsibility. I think also just misvara, because if he's an important being, I should care about him and try to help him. But more than that, because that's valach lebedrachav, that's just... Mahu af ata, just like Kadosh Baruch Hu cared about Adam and cares about us, so do we. Okay, now he's already going to the next stage. It's more than just recognition, and it's more than just this theoretical idea of caring about somebody. But now it's getting down to more tachlis, more lamaisa. What's an example of this? A really interesting example, just about all our nusach of tefillah is tefillah. Okay, number two, when I become aware of his being responsible for the well-being of the thou whom he has helped bring into existence, with the I, I don't know if I read that right. Right, once I recognize this other person, and I'm in this group with him, I should care about him, a new community emerges, the community of prayer. If we think about it from what Rosh has said so far, that it makes so much sense that when I'm davening, I'm not only davening for myself. I should, all the people that I am connected with, all the people that I have shaifas to, so I should worry about them, just like I worry about myself. So when I'm davening, I have to care about them. Right, the community of prayer. What does this mean? It means a community of common pain, of common suffering, and this is very true in the Jewish community. The idea, I think, we'll say this explicitly, but the idea that we've developed, or it's part of our neshama, but we have this trait of when there's Rachmana Litzlan, sling some tragedy, so that it affects all of us. I forget the details, but. Actually, I gave $50, but there was something on Yeshiva World, like, I think it might still be there, like, a week ago, like, Save Gabe and Sam or something. It's some Rachmana Litzlan, some young family, where they have two children with some genetic issue, and they have to have I don't even know what it is. I don't know what the disease was, but it's, like, very, very rare. And there's some sort of treatment which is, meaning... It's not covered by any sort of insurance, and it costs like $1 million. It's like ridiculous. But you have Anishiva World, and you'll have people who are Hasidish, who are from, who are modern, who are, I'm sure it's elsewhere also, beyond just the Yeshiva World website community, but, and they raise the money, I think. But the idea that when there's, and you get the story of a Jew suffering, people all over from the entire spectrum, we care about each other. We literally feel like we're a family. And that's why Israel has such an interesting dynamic, because that's how we relate to each other. Is that if you're my brother, if you're my cousin, so I maybe I have the right to tell you, give you a little bit of friendly advice. But that's our dynamic. That's who we are. That's how we relate to the army. And there are sons, there are brothers, we really feel all connected. And that's the entire Jewish community around the world. But it says Rav Soloveitchik, Halacha is taught the individual to include his fellow man in his prayer. The individual must not limit himself to his own needs, no matter how pressing those needs are, and how distinguished he is. Halacha has formulated prayer in the plural. It's really interesting when you think about it. That all the things in our tefillah, slach lanu, refainu, rehashivenu, everything is in plural. Everything's in plural. But even more so, even private prayers, such as those offered on the occasion of sickness, death, or other crises, are recited in the plural. Hamakom minachem eschem, besoch sh'ar aveleitzion v'yerushalayim. I think this is also actually a discussion about, is it always in plural? If it's only one avel, should it be singular? So I think there are some who say yes, but Rav Soloveitchik apparently, it seems to be, would say no, because it's not only this person that you're trying to comfort. Your tefillah is, just like this person's suffering, I want Hashem to comfort him. Like, he comforts all the people who are suffering, all the Jews who are suffering all over the place. Similarly by tefillah for the chole. Okay. This thing's interesting. We're not going to focus on it, though. This is interesting. Now, continue this. The individual prayer usually revolves about physical pain, mental anguish, or suffering. Right, in a person, you have a person who's just davening on his own, right? Because he's got some sort of issue, and he feels like he needs Hashem's help. At the level of individual prayer, if a person's just davening on his own, prayer does not represent the singularly human need. That's not really unique to human beings, the idea of prayer, if it means that, it could be that the pain is a unique human pain. It could be the pain is psychological, the pain is financial fear, or who knows what. It could be some animalistic kind of pain, but that idea of when one's in pain, he cries out, that's not unique to human beings. Even a mute creature in the field reacts to physical pain with a shriek or outcry. Such reaction was to be sure equated with prayer. Everything, all flesh can daven to Hashem. Okay, however, prayer in the plural is a unique human experience. Why do I use the plural form when I pray? Because I'm aware, not only of my pain, but of the pain of the many, because I share in the suffering of the many. Again, it is not psychological, it is rather an existential awareness of pain. But this idea that the ability to really pray b'lashon rabim, to be able to care about everybody's needs along with one's own, that's unique to human beings. And that's also unique to a community. And it's highlighted by the Jewish community. This nice little story. I mean, that's not a nice story, but it's a nice way to bring this point home. I still remember the distress we young boys experienced when we heard of a pogrom in some Jewish town thousands of miles away. Our anguish was due not to fear, but to sympathy and compassion. We felt the pain of the nation as a whole. Our glorious charity tradition through the ages is the result of our having been a prayerful, compassionate community. Okay, beautiful idea. And then he says, he has a whole interesting discussion. It really is interesting. But that prayer is not enough. When we're talking about being merciful, it's not only enough to daven on somebody's behalf, to show Hashem that we care about somebody. We also have to do as much as we can in terms of actions. The idea of chesed, we just had an interesting discussion about the lashon rachmanus. Right, what's rachmanus? It's different than a rachaman, racha or merachim. That's an activity. That means that the person does actions that reflect mercy. But he should have rachmanus. That's just like a whole attitude. It's just his very nature. A person should have rachmanus. That's not, it goes beyond just acting in a certain way. Let's say getting back to Hani Machlis, or Rav Machlis. But it goes beyond actions. It's just it's one's nature that you care about somebody. And it's, that will cause you to do the actions. But you could have actions without that deep care. And rachmanus is about that deep care in the core of one's personality. Okay. Now, this is really beautiful. Also a nice way just to end the essay. Maybe end this chunk of shiurim for now. But, says Rav Soloveitchik, the prayerful, number four, the prayerful charity community, right? Now we have two aspects of what it means to be part of the Jewish community. both the Tila and also the Chesed, rises to a higher sense of communion in the teaching community. This idea, I think Rav Soloveitchik is leading towards, the idea that if we're all part of one group, so first of all, it literally stems from the idea of compassion, that the one who knows more should care about the one who knows less. He should want to share with him and teach him. And also, if we're learning Torah, not only to learn lishma, but also to learn how to do mitzvah. So I want to be mechanech people. I want to teach them. But Rav Soloveitchik is going to take it in a much further way. That it's not only about teaching, it's not only about helping people learn and do the proper thing, but that itself leads to the ability to have this community that goes way beyond like the limits of time. Okay, let's see what he says. The teaching community, I skip a line, it's okay. Teaching community is centered around an adult, the teacher, and a bunch of young, vivacious children with whom he communicates and communes, right? Communicate to, but also like connects with. He's as young as they are, and they are as old as he is. It's interesting drush of the pasuk. Yishlenu av zakein v'yeled zikudim katan. I'm not exactly sure whether the brothers are like connecting with their father and also with the Binyamin. Maybe. The central figure in Jewish history has not been the king, nor the field marshal, nor the political leader, but the very old teacher surrounded by very young children. Now you think about who is the Jewish hero for centuries. That was the Talmud Chacham, the Rav. Right, there's the importance of chinuch. What does the teacher do? He tells a story. What is the nature of the story that has been told and retold hundreds of times through the generations? We tell the children the stories of laws which form the foundation of Jewish morality. We teach them halacha. We tell them the story of honesty and sincerity, love and sympathy. This story is meant to teach the child not to steal, not to lie, not to be vindictive. We also tell the child the stories of statutes whose meaning we do not fully grasp, but we teach them everything, all types of halacha, chokim, mishpatim, everything. Sometimes we teach him, we can't always understand. That's also part of what we teach him. Okay, but now this is another level. We also tell the child the story of a people who met God and joined him in a covenant, who engaged the Almighty in a dialogue. We tell the child the story of our past. We help the child develop historical memory. We train the child not to forget past events. We tell the child the story of our confrontation with God in the desert. We urge the child not to forget our liberation from bondage and our encounter with Amalek, etc. I'll go to the next paragraph. We not only tell stories describing events, we tell stories precipitating the re-experiences of events which transpired millennia ago. We're not only telling him stories, we're somehow recreating that experience. To tell a story is to relive that event. We will sit on the floor and mourn the destruction of the sanctuary, an event which took place 1900 years ago. We will celebrate the Exodus, an event which lies at the dawn of our history. Our stories are concerned not only with the past, but with the future as well. We tell our children the story of patient waiting for the great realization of the promise, no matter how slow the realization isn't coming. So what Rav Soloveitchik is getting at is that it's true, a big part of this teaching community stems from caring and wanting to do chesed for and teach the ones who know more, teach the ones who know less. But in addition, what comes out of this teaching community is that experience that goes all the way back to Matan Torah or goes all the way back to the Churban HaBayis, that was conveyed from one generation to the next. And somehow the fact that we are part of this chain, we're part of this chain that goes all the way back to the times of Avraham Avinu and goes in the future, Emir Tashem, it will go to the times of the third Beis HaMikdash. That means that every Jewish person is part of a community that's really that's timeless. And somehow he can, in a certain way, experience things that have happened way in the past because that was taught from one Rebbe to his Talmud and who became Rebbe taught to his Talmud. And that exact experience was able to be conveyed throughout time and it becomes timeless. We'll just end with this second class paragraph. In short, it is an exciting story that we tell them. It is a story of a teaching community which cuts across the ages, encompassing people who lived millennia ago, who made their contribution to the Knesset Yisrael and have left the stage. We also tell them the story of people who at some point in the distant future will enter the historical stage. Our story unites countless generations, present, past, and future, merge into one great experience. I think it's really a beautiful way to end the essay, but end this little chunk of Rav Soloveitchik's discussion of some of Rav Soloveitchik's essays. But to summarize what we saw now, that last time Rav Soloveitchik was talking about the importance of both individuality, of independence, but also being part of a community. And now Rav Soloveitchik is talking more about what is the community, how is it formed, and what is it about. So it's formed, says Rav Soloveitchik, in a very simple way, by acknowledging somebody, by caring about somebody, by feeling like I'm connected with somebody. And the Jewish people, we all feel like we're acknowledging that we're part of the same group, and we care about each other. And what does a community do? What is it to be in a community? At the very simple level, it means that I care about somebody, and therefore, when I'm davening, I daven for them. If I want to make sure I have a parnasa, I have health, I should care about that for all my fellow Jews. So that becomes part of my tefillah. And more than that, it leads to chesed, it leads to doing things for them. But in addition to all that, there's the idea of Talmud Torah. Somehow this fits into the idea of the Jewish community, both in the sense that it's part of chesed, it's part of giving over what I know and what he doesn't know yet, so therefore I want to convey it to him. But in addition to that, the Jewish community is able, because of its nature, that it's been this Rebbe-Talmud relationship all the way back to all the way in the future, that kind of enables us to be timeless. We're able to experience things that are way before us and anticipate things which we might, hopefully we'll see. But even if we won't, we know that the next generation will, or the next generation will. Somehow, the existence of this community makes the experience of Judaism in a certain way beyond time. So a very nice idea. And I think we'll stop here. Any questions?